Would you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 7, I believe. Yeah, Mark chapter 7. Out of all the TV evangelists, I dislike one particular person more than all the rest combined. His name is Benny Hinn. It is because his flamboyant prophecy, which never comes true, nor have any of his miraculous claims been proven to be true. Am I saying that there is nobody that has ever been healed at his crusade? No, that's not what I'm saying. God still extends his mercy to those who are desperately need his help. People get healed, not because of Benny Hinn, because of Jesus Christ and his mercy. At his crusade, he employs a couple of screeners who stand in front of the stage. People make a long line. They ask people, so what are you here for? And if this person has an obvious, visible illness, such as he has a palsy, shaking badly, or, you know, no legs, they don't allow them to go up to the stage. The person who has no visible problem, they are allowed to go up. If he's truly called by God to heal people, why does he need that kind of thing? Jesus healed everybody. No screeners. And Jesus did it for free. Didn't pass the Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. People with a visible problem, illness or disability, they get pushed out. They get hurt. In April 2001, HBO aired a documentary entitled A Question of Miracles that focused on him. For whatever reason, him gave them a full access to the seven of his events. For a year, this TV camera crews followed him around. There, and they recorded everything. The film's director, Anthony, A-N-T-O-N-Y, not T-H-O-N-Y, Thomas, told the CNN Kyra Phillips that they did not find any cases where the people were actually healed by Benny Hinn. And also, he also said to the New York Times interview, this is quote I'm getting, "If I had seen a miracle from Hinn's ministry, I would have been happy to trumpet it. But in retrospect, I think they do more damage to Christianity than the most committed atheists." Horrible, horrible witness. And you may say, are you believing that the secular media? Sometimes, yes. When it's done right. Unfortunately, Benny Hinn's 30-minute TV program, known as This Is Your Day, still among the world's most watched program, and it is aired on many Christian networks. The late pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, once said, he believes that Benny Hinn has never been saved. I won't go that far telling other people that whether he is saved or not. However, I would say this, the fruit of his salvation, if he's saved, I don't see him. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I heard this from Israeli guide, the Christian guide, who were part of his tour guide. When he came, there were like a 20 bus load of people, hundreds of people. At the Sea of Galilee, he put the fiberglass underneath of water out of this boat. So he can stand on top of the fiberglass as if to make an illusion of his standing on the water. I thought, that's low. And then at the Jerusalem, there was a big Colosseum auditorium. He passed the offering bucket. And then people went to the back and they counted, and he was informed how much it was. he was not happy because it was not good enough. So he demanded more offering to be taken. God's gift is free to everyone. It should be given freely. That's why I never copyright any of my teachings on our website. I got it from the Lord. I got it from other godly people. So why should I even claim that it's mine? If you've been following Benny Hinn, and you are about to wring my neck now, but hear me well, please. Miracles alone are not proof that a person is truly sent of God, because Satan can enable his false minister to do amazing things. Today, we must test. Are you with me? Today, we must test a person's ministry by the truth of God's word. Go to our memory verse, 1 John chapter 4, please. I know what the Benny Hinn tells other people. Touch not God's anointed. He's taking out of context. If that's the case, if he wants to go by what the Old Testament said, whenever he opened his mouth and prophesied it didn't come true, we should stone him to death as well. Right? 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets. We need to remember that as much as we long for miracles, however, they are not cure for all. Remember what happened to Apostle Peter, who walked with God every day for 3 years. If there is anyone who had a solid ironclad faith in Jesus Christ, that would be him. What happened to him? When he was asked by the servant Gaul, and when he was asked by another person, are you with him? He denied Jesus. Not only that, he bring the curse down on him if he was one of them. He denied Christ for 3 times. What happened? Miracles that he witnessed was not for his salvation. It was something that proved that man is genuine. This morning we are going to see the several cases of real miracles of Jesus. But the Jewish religious leaders are asking for more miracles. That's why I quote out from the Bible, a wicked and adulterous generation who asked for more miracles. Jesus has a direct answer for them and those who are looking for miracles only over miracle givers need to take heed what the Bible says. Let's stop and pray. Father, we long for you more than miracles. We don't deny that we like to see the miracles. You're the one, you're the God who overcome impossibility. To you, there's no such a thing as impossible. All things are possible to you. More than anything, we want your presence in our lives. Speak to our heart. Anoint our heart to receive your word. And anoint the one who speaks. Father, we pray for this coming election. Father, we are asking your will be done. Father, we are asking you to speak to President Obama and all the officials. They may do what you want them to do, and they may come to know Christ. Father, we are praying for our uniformed personnel, our troops, our law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. Especially the fallen officers, families, and their friends. During this difficult time, you minister to them and they may experience your peace. And if they don't know you, they may come to pray this in Jesus' name. Verse 31 of chapter 7 in the book of Mark, please. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had impairment in his speech. they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ear. He spat and touched his tongue. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, that's gross. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and mute to speak. Stop there, please. I think that's the key for the mission. Don't tell anyone about Jesus. Then people will talk more, right? Typical human being. The region of Decapolis means 10 cities. It's located in the Gentile territory of the Sea of Galilee, east side. Jesus used many different ways of healing. He healed with a word. He healed without a word. He healed in response to one's faith. He healed someone with another person's faith. He healed those who asked. He healed those who he approached. He didn't want to create magic formula for us to come up with. And why do we do that? Because we try to imitate, and in the wrong way. It should never be about formula, folks. I remember what Chuck Swindoll said. When Billy Graham had his, during his time when he was young, he had a white suit and carried a red Bible. So Chuck Swindoll has bought a white suit and started to carry a red Bible. And he realized it was not a formula. It's all about anointing of the Holy. It should be about Jesus and relying on Him. Can you say with me? Relying on Him. He is God, and He does whatever He wants in whatever way He chooses. Don't try to put God in that little tiny box. Only one that goes in that box is Jack. All right, go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Chapter 15, verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciple to himself. I have a compassion on multitude, because they have and now continued with me 3 days. I want you to note that word, 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciple said to him, No problem, God, Jesus. You just multiply food, right? Is that what they say? No. Where do we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few little fish. By now they should have got that, right? So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and fish, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude, so they all ate and were filled. And they took up the 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now, those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. So somewhere around 16,000 to 17,000 people there. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Magdala, yeah, I did correctly. This is not the same miracle recorded in the last chapter. Then, you know, feeding 5,000. What's the difference? The numbers? 5,000 and 4,000. And the 5,000, feeding 5,000 was done in the region of the Israeli people. This was done near the Decapolis, Gentile territory. In other words, the people who were fed were Gentiles. And these people were with him for 3 days. The other group, they were with him for a day. Two separate incidents. Don't get mixed up. It's like déjà vu, right? I'm sure you heard the word, French word, déjà vu. And of course, it's, I know, there's no extra charge for the French lesson. People say déjà vu, it's all over again. Actually, you're repeating same thing. And again, it's not all over again, it's correct translation. The literal translation is already seen. His disciples have seen this incident. They should remember that. Jesus used 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 sardines to feed 20,000 people. Simply gave thanks to the Lord and started to multiply. And they were the channel of the blessing. Shouldn't they remember that? They didn't. They forgot. And you're thinking, I would never forget. Really? Let's not be hard on them. How many times do you commit the same sin? How many times do you worry? How many times do we make the same mistake and say to God, Lord, I did it again? Sorry. This Bible, it's a pretty much a repetitive book. Are you with me? The question to the disciple, question of the disciples to Jesus revealed their spiritual ignorance. They flunked again. As I mentioned, Bible is a repetitive book. Why is that? Is it because God ran out of the things to say? Oh no, he has a lot to say. We just don't get it. So since we don't get it, he has to tell us the simple basic things over and over and over. Good example, there are 4 Gospels, pretty much the same. Synoptic Gospel and the one separate, the John. They are repeating pretty much the same thing over and over. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's God, and he came down to earth to save wretched people like us. Did I sum up? All 4 of them pretty much the same? Yeah. Why 4? Because coming from the 4 different point of view. Why is it necessary? Because we don't get it. Remind us. Reinforce his truth to us. And the rest of the New Testament, pretty much explaining what Jesus done and what he's teaching us. Go down to verse 1 of chapter 16 in the book of Matthew, please. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be a fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrite, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed them. Matthew chapter 16 is the turning point of Jesus' ministry. From this point, he talks about his death and resurrection more openly than any other subject. He is focusing on what's going to happen to him soon. The Jewish religious leaders desire for the sign from heaven. And you may say, what about all the other signs that Jesus did? Oh, they said, that's nothing. That's the signs from the earth. In their traditional mindset, those things can be duplicated by Satan, can be done by Satan. Only sign from heaven, like a hellfire and brimstone, that would be sign from God. Because they have this silly tradition over God's word. Many people are still looking for miracles more than the Savior's. Otherwise, people wouldn't flock down to the Benny Hinn's quote-unquote healing crusade. Miracles do not convict the people for their sins or give our desire for salvation. Miracles will give confirmation where there is a faith, but not where there is a willful unbelief. Remember what happened to the people in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown? Because their unbelief, Jesus did not perform a whole lot of miracles. Signs of Jonah, what is that? It is the message of the gospel for the unbelievers. What the church around the world needs is a steady diet of the Word of God from Word of God, expounding biblical instruction for the day-to-day application, not looking for fancy miracles. As I mentioned, many people flock down those crusades, and they may get the emotional hype there. Do they have a good band? Yeah, very slick. I don't know each individual people's condition. And you may say, how do you say that? Let me put it this way. There's a local church in Tucson, big one, and they hired musicians from the bar. Were they good? You betcha. They played all night long in the bar with the bloodshot eyes. They come on Sunday morning, play gospel music. Praise and worship music. Was music done right? Yes, musically. Was done properly spiritually? No. I'm grateful that we have a great worship team. Their heart is right. You may get the emotional hype in the crusade, but people are starving to death as they leave. It's like giving a can of Mountain Dew to the young child instead of a glass of milk. See what happened? The kid will fly around the wall. Chapter 16, verse 5, please. Now, when his disciple had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Or remember five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000. See, Jesus is making a clear difference here. And how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus emphasized the importance of being on guard against false teaching. Never underestimate proper theology. Don't think that theology is wrong. Theology, by definition, is a study of God. You need to have that thing down, otherwise you will be swayed. That's why many Christians or wannabe end up become Mormons, because they don't know the theology. Here, as always, leaven is a picture of a corruption or sin in the Bible. Just a reminder for all of you, just because someone is standing behind the pulpit and preaching and teaching, it doesn't mean that we should trust everything that comes out of that person's mouth. Rather, we should compare what their teaching against the Word of God in context. Are you with me? I shudder the idea that some people go to church without Bible. What would happen if you go to school or college without textbook? Does the professor say, oh, it's no problem, I'll just upload the text on the screen so you can see? Folks, this is our textbook. Are you with me? If you don't read this every day, if you don't take the truth from this every day, you are lacking the instruction from God. If you don't take the Word of God as is, then somebody will fill your heart with something else. Guess who that be? Just because somebody writing an article in their magazine, just somebody is on TV with some fancy program, that doesn't mean you should trust. That's why I ask you to bring the Bible. That's why I ask you to read the Bible with me. Don't trust me. Don't trust anything that come out of my mouth unless it is from God, it is in context. I cannot overemphasize on that thing. Go to Mark chapter 8, please. Turn to right, Mark chapter 8. I think I mentioned this. One family came. As they were leaving, "I don't like your church." I was thinking, "I don't like you either." But I didn't say that. I was diplomatic. I didn't say that, really. I said, "Okay, why?" And she said, "You don't show the Bible scriptures on the screen, like this particular church in Tucson. Then I don't have to carry a Bible to the church." I said, "Thank you. Bye." Is that how you take the Christianity? Is that how you take the Word of God? Wrong. Wrong. Very, very wrong. Verse 22, chapter 8. "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town." I'm sure the people followed them. "And when he had spit on his eyes," that's new, isn't it? "And put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He looked up and said, 'I see a man like a tree walking.' Then he put his hands on his eyes again, made him to look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, 'Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town.'" I'm sure he was quiet. Right. Jesus had many unique ways to heal people, as we learned. Can you imagine blind men? You cannot see anything. And somebody's standing in front of you clearing the throat. And noogie is on your eyes. Okay, enough of that, right? Do you think a blind man has a sight now? Do you think he cares? Folks, the trials and tests that we go through, we think, gross. This is difficult. The outcome, we get closer to God. Since we are talking about miracles, I want you to pay attention to the next portion of the scripture, 2 Kings. 2 Kings in the Old Testament, right after the 1 King. I know I'm good at obvious things. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. "There are four things we must notice regarding God's miracle. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me.'" Number one, I want you to put the number one there, next phrase. "What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Verse 3, "Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors.'" Put number two, empty vessels. Did you get that? Empty vessels. Number three, "Do not gather just a few." In other words, gather everything you can find. Verse four, "When you have come in," number four there, "you shall shut the door behind you and your son. Then pour it into all of those vessels. Set aside the full ones." Did you get the number one through four? Okay. Here's a point. Number one point. God often begins his miracles with what we already have. what we already have. Moses had a rod of iron in his hand, and God used the rod of iron to lead the people from out of Egypt to wilderness and to promised land. And he split the Red Sea. Jesus used 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 little sardines to feed the 5,000 men and plus women and children. And 7 loaves of bread to feed the 4,000 men plus women and children. With God, a little is enough to do wonders. You with me? Say with me, with God, a little is enough to do wonders. He stuck with what we already have. And I know some of you are thinking in the back of your mind, no, I want a brand new. I don't want this little dinky car. I want Corvette with a 400 horsepower. He might just give you gas money. Second point. God pour out His blessing of miracles to the ones who are empty to receive. Elijah pointed out empty vessels. The vessel had to be empty before they would be filled with the oil. It is no good for the widows to bring full vessels. When we are full of ourselves, aren't we all? And we cannot be filled with the Spirit of God fully because we get in His way. We think we know how to handle the situation. Do we? We mess up bad. Stay out of His way. Another thing, when He tried to pour His blessing on your hand, if you hold on to something, whatever you have, you cannot receive His blessing. Empty it. Then receive. Now it's not going to work because I slammed it. Third point. God delivers His miracle to His servants in ways that they exercise their faith. If a widow and his son brought only needed what they think they needed, 10 Tupperware thing. We'll have a Tupperware party here. No. Elijah said, bring as much as you can find. God is more than willing to fill us to the brim with His blessings. But it is us who often limit Him with our unbelief. Repeat with me. It is us who often limit Him with our unbelief. Fourth point. God's miracle is not a show or circus. Say it with me, God's miracle is not a show or miracle, a circus. Some TV evangelists, yes, I'm talking about Benny Hinn, they make this into the marketing strategy. They are really good at it. For their selfish fame and monetary gain in their heart. If truth be known, they really cannot show that it is the Lord who genuinely performed the miracles. God alone should be received all the glory through His miracles, no one else. As I said, if their miracle is truly from God and it's been given to them freely, they should go walk into the hospital and empty the hospital, not asking for a penny. And believe that since they claim the faith, they should believe that God will provide what they need according to His riches and glory. Do you think I have a bone to pick with them? Get this, guys. God's miracle often divides people according to their deepest mindset. In other words, their true heart often toward God, self-faith, whether they are carnal or not carnal. So does it mean that we at the Calvary Chapel of Sorry that do not believe in God's miracle like some denominations say? Well, they said, well, God's miracle stop at the first century. I beg to differ. God still healed people. God still is in miracle business. Let me tell you this. We often witness miracles of God, but somehow people discount that as not miracle. Do you know what that is? Salvation. That spirit coming alive, born again. How much can I emphasize that as a miracle of God? If you are born again, you are proof of God's miracle. And it happens in our church. And people don't get it. No, the miracle is kind of like people who are paralyzed start to walk again. Yeah, more than that. That's just physical condition. The spirit is eternal life. That was supposed to be in hell. Now God is bringing them to heaven. That is a miracle of God. Don't ever, ever discount that. Three applications. Number one, don't believe that every miracle comes from the Lord. If it brings glory to Him alone, say it with me, bring glory to Him alone, okay? And no one else, it is from Him. Second application, after the Lord brings a miracle to us, don't even entertain a thought that it has anything to do with us. Don't say, oh, yes, I was a part of that miracle. No, you're not. Don't pat your own back so much that you break your own arms. Third application, do not look for signs, wonders, or miracles only. Rather, look for a miracle giver. Hold on. I read an article this morning. No disrespect to Mother Teresa. Catholic Church declared that she is a saint because of some of the miracles happened because of her. She is a saint. According to my Bible, if you are born again, you are a saint. I don't need some church to declare that I'm a saint. Bible already declared. Besides, it's not individual who does any miracles. I have no power. You don't have power. Mother Teresa don't have power. Only person who have the power to pull the miracle is God. Get it?